If the shield talked to us. Ay, 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 ay.
You make a deal. If I drive, you get cheerful.
Okay, we left off. She just my throat's a little bit on the shock side, so can guys still hear me in the back? nobody heard me ask that question. As I said. Guys, way back. You guys still hear me? Okay. Right. So we left off yesterday. We were discussing the statement of the Gemara that Kulam Ka'avas Hashem Neitav, at the end of the day, the only real characteristic that all the 24 of us have in common, even though some of them don't really have told us, probably most of them don't have any told us, but they're all Ka'avas, that they all pay me Neitav. So that was a very, very tricky statement. We already saw yesterday that some of the of us on the list were not even sure how we got to that point. Eidim Zom was a big question mark. Even Boshes was a certain degree of a question mark. But at the end of the day, that's the Gemara's committed to that premise, that if you don't pay me Meitav, then you don't belong on the magic list of being from the Avos. So it's because of this conviction of the Gemara that we have to go back a little bit earlier to something back in the beginning of Hamad Aleph and reassess that Gemara. Reassess. We never read that Gemara together, but to relook at that Gemara, or look at it for the first time, in light of this statement of the Gemara, with this absolute certainty of Kum Gavus Hashem Meitav. I didn't say anything.
There's no pasuk and there's no
limud.
What's the default position for how you pay?
You mean what would the din have been? Lu Yitzu, the Torah wouldn't have told me that there's a din.
Yeah.
I probably would have said Ziburis. I would think that that's probably the starting point. Yeah, I think so. So comes the Gemara on the top of Hamad Aleph and was discussing the possibility almost of another Av, almost like a co-Av, another quasi-Av. The Gemara was discussing the unique possibility of Shor Shehizik as Ha'adam. Now, a Shor Shehizik, okay, that I understand, Shor Shehizik, Shotam, Shemur, I got that, I understand that. But the Gemara opens up the possibility that maybe a Shor Shehizik as Ha'adam should be a separate, independent Av. My eye, like, why in the million years do you think that a Shor Shehizik as Adam would be separate and independent? Let's say emotionally the other way around. Adam Shehizik as Adam, Adam is a Shor. Just because it's a different personality involved doesn't automatically mean that it's going to be a separate out. It has to be some halachic difference. So the Gemara says, well, there may be a halachic difference. What's the halachic difference? It depends whose camp, depends whose worldview you have of Shor Shehizik as Adam. So there happens to be, tucked away in Sukkot and Vashet Mishpatim, a very, very vague pasuk. The pasuk describes a shor shenragach, and the Torah says, "Obein yigach, obas yigach, kamishpat hazeh ye'osalo." That if a shor gores a person, this is the rule, this is the law, kamishpat hazeh ye'osalo. Of course, what's always that problem? Whenever you have these vague, you know, ambiguous sukkim, kamishpat hazeh yosalo, what's the problem? What is hazeh? This is like, you know, l'havav adolos, when the kid writes, you know, an essay, and he keeps on saying, it, he, she, we have no idea what it, she, or he, or she is. So we have no idea which mishpat is it. Now, there are multiple choices, because if you look around at the surrounding sukkim, so the Torah speaks about the dinim of tam, and the Torah speaks about the dinim of muad. So, what do the words mean? Kamishpat hazeh asalom. So, Rabbi Akiva has a very, very remarkable way of reading this psukim. And the Gemara references this sheet of Rabbi Akiva on Daf Hamed Aleph. It repeats itself in a few places in Baba Kama. Rabbi Akiva says the following: the Mishnah of Baba Kama that says, "Tam shechavu be'adam mishalem nezek shalem." That if a shor tam gores a person, so you always pay nezek shalem. Namely, the chiluk, the distinction between tam and muad, is found in the Torah. You have it legabe shor shehemis also. What's the difference whether the shor is a tam or a muad? In terms of if it kills a person, what's the nafkamina? Kofir. Right? The animal gets killed no matter what, whether it's tam or muad. But if it made it to the point of muad, it keeps on escaping bezin and it makes it to the point of muad, so then you pay kofir. So there's a difference between tam and muad vis-a-vis shor shehemis. And there's also a difference between tam and muad vis-a-vis shor shehizik, i.e., if it's a tam, you pay chasin nezek. If it's a muad, you pay nezek shalit. So comes Rabbi Akiva and says the buck stops here, literally. Rabbi Akiva says, "Bamed devav amurim," that the Torah says you only merely pay chatzi nezek. That's only what? That's only who? That's only if it's a shor shehizik es ha'shor. If it's a shor shehizik es ha'adam, then all bets are off. Kamishpat hazeh ha'asalo. What does kamishpat hazeh mean? Kamishpat shor ha muad. So obey yigach, obat yigach. If a shor gores a person and is mazik the person, kamishpat hazeh, the dinim of a shor muad, yasa lo. It always takes on the dinim of a shor muad. That's what the Akiva's very unique shita. Now it happens to be nobody else accepted it. All the other Tanaim didn't accept it. And halacha, we don't even follow Rabbi Akiva. But within the worldview of Rabbi Akiva, so the Gemara poses the challenge at the top of Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, hey, wait a second. According to Rabbi Akiva, lismei shor shechiz ha-shor, shor shechiz ha-adam, because they're really different. Because one is chasin nezek, one is nezek sholem. So it makes sense that we should list them as two separate independent of us. So that's the Gemara's question at the top of Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says, let's take a look at that again. So the Gemara says, the end of the second line, Isabai Kabi Akiva, Liste Tregav Nishor, Liste Shor the Azik Shor, Liste Shor the Azik Adam. This Nan of Akiva, Oima Tam Shor, Oima Sham, Vaisen Nik Shor. Which is not. Hatavi Rabbi Akiva Ligzize, a strange phrase. What does it mean? What does it literally mean? Because he broke his own fist. It's a very poetic way of saying that Rabbi Akiva himself undid that his own Shita. Something that Rabbi Akiva himself said prevents us from drawing the conclusion that which was just true. What did Rabbi Akiva say? The sign, Rabbi Akiva, Yochel Av Tam Shechav Bi Adam Misham Min Haliyah. I might think that if a Tam is Chayv Av Adam Yurtei Mi Meita Min Haliyah, why would you think that? Why would you even think that? It's only Yeshua Tam. What's the answer? Well, it's Rabbi Akiva who's saying that there really is no Din of Shor Tam anymore by Shor Shechav Av Adam. All the Dini Atayr to Vechalit between Tam and Muad only apply to a shor shehizikis a shor. So just as vis-a-vis the amount of damage that you pay in terms of half versus full, so we always treat a shor tam as a shor muad in the realm of Adam, who had the nami when it comes to payment aliyah. We should up it up into payment aliyah, because again, a shor tam pays megufo, a shor muad pays in aliyah. So I would have thought, zog to Rabbi Akiva, yochel av tam shechav b'ad misham in aliyah, tam ad lami asalo, Miguf Misham and Misham and Ali. Boom. So Rabbi Akiva says no. That it's a very, very unique halacha. It's a very, very strange halacha. Sure, we thank Mr. Alter from the New York Marcus. So Shor Tam, right? Shechavo be'adam. So again, this is all Rabbi Akiva. Rabban have a different story. According to Rabbi Akiva. So what are some of the halachas? You pay Nezek Shalem, that's true. And Nezek Shalem should have resulted in paying me. For what? Min Aliyah, which means mate of. Nope, you pay Migufo. So it's a very, very bizarre thing. You pay Nezek Sholem Migufo. It doesn't make any sense. Nezek Sholem is a Muadik Alocha. Pay Migufo is a Tamdik Alocha. What's the answer to that, Kasha? Doesn't make any sense. Kachazeh. Neither part of the Duma. It also doesn't make sense to our limited understanding. I think that's also. What's the Mokhav of Nezek Sholem? Mishpat. Kamishpat Hazeh. And what's the makom for migufo? Yaseh lo. Lo has the connotation of migufo to it. Namely, the shore itself has to pick up the tab, and the owner doesn't have to pay. I had to steer him in Eubay. How can you have a nezek shalom migufo? Kachazeh. It's interesting. What is the absolute mirror image of Rabbi Akiva Shotam Shechavol Ba'adam? What? Good guess, right? Tzaros. That was what we just left him after, right? Tzaros pays chati nezek. What? So it's mamash the opposite, okay? So these are the two yotzim in the class. So again, so this is Rabbi Akiva's view. So the Gemara says that now that Rabbi Akiva qualified his shita by teaching us that you pay migufo, now I understand why it's not on the list. Now I understand why it's not a separate independent av. Ad kan divrei haGemara. What's my problem with the Gemara? It's true but irrelevant. What is the fact that you pay migufo? Why does that impact on yes or no being a called an av? What does that mean? The Gemara posed a really, really good question. Hey, according to Rabbi Akiva, l'chayv it should be an av because it's a separate l'chayv, it's a different l'chayv. You pay twice the amount of a regular shor shehizik is a shor. So why isn't shor shehizik is adam a separate av? Which says, no, that's silly, that's ridiculous, that's the most silliest thing I've ever heard. You know why it's not an av? Because it pays migufo. Thank you very much. How does that answer the kasha? So Rashi has a startling statement on the sugya. What does Rashi say? Who saw the Rashi? I put on the Maamar Kamos? I put the Tosfos on the Maamar Kamos? The Tosfos quote the Rashi? Yeah. So Rashi's on the Maamar Kamos. So comes Rashi and says, Yachol Yishalem Tam Shechava Be'adam, Dr. Rashi, V'ishtatach, the lo mishala nezik shalim, alakamosh yashua shava. Says Rashi, what was prompting the Gemara? What was the engine driving the Gemara to treat Shosha Chavlas HaAdam as a separate mazik, a separate Ava mazik, because you're paying a different amount, you're paying 100%, unlike Shosha Hizikas HaShoah that's only paying 50%. So with that difference between 100% versus 50%, that discrepancy that creates the shame, Av Bifnei Atzmo. When the Gemara discovers that according to Rabbi Akiva you only pay migufo, the Gemara realizes that this discrepancy isn't as sharp as we thought it was. Why? Because you don't always pay 100% for short time shechava b'yadam, because every once in a while the shore is what? What does that mean when you pay migufo? What's the limitation of pay migufo? You never pay what? You never pay more than the value of the shore. So it's very possible that the shore is an old sickly kind of a shore. It's not worth all that much anyway, and anyway you're not going to pay 100%. So since you're not always going to pay more than 100%, therefore it doesn't suffice to be labeled as a separate category. If, in the world of your imagination, Lu Yitzui Rabbi Akiva would have been imagining such a din, that a Tam Shechav Rabbi Adam pays Min Ha'aliyah, then it would have been an absolute 100%, and 100% is not the same as 50%. All Sai Sims majors agree to that. 100% not the same as 50%. Once you tell me that 100% is not so exact, 100% can sometimes mean 75, sometimes mean 50, sometimes 20, sometimes 80, sometimes 69. So that's already fluctuating. Then the difference is not sharp anymore. So then you don't really pay 100%. You don't pay 100%. That doesn't qualify as an arbitrary answer. That's what Rashi says. So Tosfos has a lot of trouble with this chat. Not a grandiose halachic issue with this chat, just a textual issue mainly. What's the textual problem with this chat? What's the textual problem with this chat? What's bothering Tosfos this Pshat and Rashi? Tosfos writes that, well, the Pesach Kut is not Mikosha, it's not Vimanaus. The Pirish, Afel Gav the Zimnin Lake and Ezek Sholem, Kion Shashor and Shavit Ezekel, Mikom Mokom, here's the Kasha of Tosfos. Listed to Gav the Shor, Kim Lutham Mikan Ezek Sholem. Tosfos, what kind of answer is that of Rashi? What kind of dichu in the Gemara is that? Nope, we refuse to count it as a separate Av, because it doesn't always be 100%. What's the reputation of that? But it what? But it sometimes does pay 100%. So Rashi turns around and says, but it doesn't always pay. And Tosfos says, no, but it does sometimes pay. So you can talk, you can scream yourself. At the end of the day, Tosfos says, it's not the same as Shor Tam. At the end of the day, Shor Tam always pays 50%, never a penny more. A Shor Tam, Shehizik, it's a Shor. Whereas a Shor, Shechava B'Adam, according to Rabbi Akiva, may pay more than 50, quite possibly, maybe most probably, maybe 95% does pay more. Just because every once in a blue moon doesn't pay more, that's not enough to disqualify from being an Abba for the Atzma. So Tosfos didn't think that discrepancy of paying Migufo is going to really make a break in terms of dollars and cents. Tosfos is looking and searching for a Lumdus Shechilah. Tosfos is looking for a reason why in Lumdus, why it's impossible to call a Tam Shechava B'Adam an Av, because it pays Migufo. What is it about paying Migufo that interferes with the ability to call it an Av?
Right.
What is that point? What's the Nakuda? What's the love of the Nakuda? Taisa tells it's very, very simple. What's the Nakuda, Rabbi, say? Says Taisa's. V'yeshleimai. V'kevin e'mishalam el Migufo. E'eb shalemis te'gabi avas. The real reason, not Rashi's game with the math, sometimes yes, sometimes no, sometimes yes, no, wrong. What's the Emes Lamita reason? No. What's the Emes Lamita reason? It falls short. It can't be called an Av, because the defining characteristic of an Av is Kulan Ka'avas. Let's all say it together, guys. 1, 2, 3, on the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. Kulan Ka'avas. Come on. Shalom. Beautiful. Ah. Okay, orchestra. Okay, beautiful advice. Okay. So comes Tyson and says, since that phenomenon is true, and that is not negotiable, that is the defining characteristic of others, therefore Shor Shechava B'Adam fall short, because at the end of the day, it pays Megufo. At Kan Tyson. So here's your advice. I told this chat is so convincing. It's so obvious. You have to now turn around and ask, if it's so obvious, what did Rashi say? What was missing in Tyson's chat? What is the Chiddush in Tosfos Pshat? There's something fishy about Tosfos Pshat. It sounds like it's so obvious that everybody should have said it. What is Tosfos assuming in his Pshat that's not so obvious?
He's assuming that in all these other Avos, they're all paying.
They're all paying Meitav. That's exactly what the Gemara just said. That's not Tosfos. That's the Gemara. Every one of the 24 pays we make those. Do you question that?
I thought Rashi did.
Rashi said that one. Rashi. Who Rashi?
I
said, no, I didn't say such a thing. Never said such a thing. You heard the whole Shia said in unison. We all sang it. Should we do it again? Kulam kemet to the shalom. Like kulam kemet to the shalom. Right? We got all the words right. So everybody knows that the definition of not paying is made up. So Tosfos Pshat is so obvious. What was lacking? What was missing in Tosfos Pshat?
An amount. Made up is an explained amount. It's more of a quality of life.
Well, we're paying by short time. You're not paying. If you pay me goofy, you're not paying me made up. Right? You're paying the animal. You're giving the animal to the guy. That's what it means to pay the goofo.
Yeah,
like
physically
giving the
animal.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, at the end of the day, Tosfos is right that you're not paying the meitav. So that's a good enough reason why it's not on the list.
And then it always has to be meitav.
Okay, so let's analyze this a little bit more. Let's go back a little bit and define properly what meitav is and is not in order to appreciate where this Tosfos is coming from. So let's take a step forward now to the sugyas of meitav themselves, sugyas that we're actually going to skip for the most part. But we're going to learn an important akuda in that sugya. It's going to help us not have it off. There's a very, very famous kasha. The most famous kasha in Meitav is the Gemara's kasha. You know what's the Gemara's kasha about Meitav? It's Astirim Sukkim. On the one hand, the Torah screams at us in Parshas Mishpatim. Meitav Sudeh Meitav Kami Yishalem. What does that mean? Translate. You have to pay what? The best of the land. That's all there is. There's no other option. You can't pay anything else. The best of your land. Meitav Sudeh Meitav Kami Yishalem. So comes the Gemara on Daf. Where are we? Comes the Gemara of Zion and Aleph. Rabbi Levi le Rava. Seventh of the Mount of Kremis. Abai posed the objection to Rava. Siv Meitav Sidem Meitav Kremi Shalem. Meitav Ibi Dechmin Eloi. Vatanya Yoshev le Rabba Shavakesa Filu Subin. The Torah says by Bor, Baal HaBor Yishalem. Kesef Yoshiv Leba'alav. Yoshiv is a riboy. Yoshiv is going to include all other things you could return. You could return, you could pay, you can make restitution, even in things which are not Meitav proper, even things which are not Kesef proper. Yoshiv Leba'alav, you name it, whatever you pay, we'll accept. Whatever you pay, that's perfectly okay. And the Gemara to highlight, to illustrate this, to give you an example of just how bad you could pay, Afilu Subin. What does Subin mean? Brand. So you can come to the guy, imagine, he had a $10,000 animal, his prize, we'll give him more than that, his thoroughbred racehorse. How much was that worth? Well, okay, his $10 million racehorse fell into my pit, and it's done, it's died, it's finished, at a $10 million loss, right? So he sues me in court. So what do? So I go to the store, and I buy $10 million of what? Of Raisin Bran, okay? And I hand him $10 million of Raisin Bran. And what in the world is the guy going to do with $10 million of Raisin Bran? He's going to eat a lot of fiber. Okay, what is he going to do? I don't know. And well, that's okay. Yashiv L'Rabbah Safilu Subin. That's perfectly legitimate. So Per asked Rava, that's Meitav. I don't understand. Meitav should have meant that we should go to the Akarka, first of all. Meitav Sadeh, Meitav Kaya. We should go to the Akarka. Forget paying about Bran. Forget Metalwin. And we should go assess all your Akarka. Now, this Mazik, he has land, he's a real estate, he has land in different places. So let's say, no one should be insulted here, we'll throw out three communities, okay? So he's got some land in, give me some good Meitav, come on, give me some good Meitav, give me a good Jewish community Meitav, come on. Come on. Where are you from? Yeah, I thought so, yeah. Jimmy, come on. Yo.
Shh.
Englewood. Okay, I can tell you. I Back Lawrence, I think you guys know the Winthrop, maybe. I thought some Meitav, okay? So we got some, exotic places in the world. We got a Meitav, we got Idis, and we got some Bayonis. Give me some good Bayonis. Give me a regular stare. Ferguson, wreck the court. We're okay. We're a bit of middle of the road guys. And now, let's hear some good Zebulas.
Muncie.
No, come on, Muncie. Hi, there you go. Houses for sale on 185th and Audubon. There you go, right next to 16 Handles. There you go, okay. Is that ever opening?
Yeah,
this month. This month, to check the commentator. Okay, good, okay. Kidding, okay. So, Rabbi Say, Rabbi said, shh. So Lechora, Beis Din should go to this mazik. The guy who dug his pit and he killed what's a good story? What's the guy? What's that horse's name? What's his name? Paro. What is it? American Fair. Paro Melchizedek. Right. So Paro fell into the pit. So we should make him pay the best of his back. Lawrence, whatever he's got back there. I know. I need to see the guy. I know exactly who he is. Okay. I dive with him every morning. I know exactly who he is. So what do we say? No problem. Pay back Subin. That's okay. Give him a raisin bran. Give him a raisin bran. Give him bran flake. Yeah, nothing. Subin the worst. So that was a rubber's cash. That was a nice cash at rubber. What do you do with this? So, strangely enough, it took the Gemara about a blot to come to an answer. And finally, in the bottom of Zayin with Beis, on the 8th of the Ma'am Kerem, is Kiyasar, Rapapa, Rav Hunabed, Yishuv, Be'ra, Peshua. The Heligam Maroim, Rapapa, Rav Hunabed, Yishuv, these are very, very late on Maroim. These are Tamidim of Rav already. They came up with the following shot. So apparently, Rav himself didn't have the answer. Rav Atako didn't know the correct answer to this cash. So they explained, or maybe they were explaining the name of Rav, perhaps. Kobi le metafu. The Ilam is Dabin, Hacham is Dabin, Masacharisi. They had a very big insight. These were for sure into systems. They had really understood the market. They said that metalslin are always made of. They're objectively made of. Why? The bottom line is, what's the end goal? Cash, right? That's the end goal. You want to get cash, all right? If I give you raisin bran, so you may not be thrilled with raisin bran, but you could go to a place where people like getting raisin bran. So you'll go to some, let's say I give you bran flakes. You go to some health food store, you'll sit in front of Whole Foods or something, and you'll dish out, you'll get, you make a killing on these bran flakes. As long as they're organic, you know, that kind of stuff. So you make a lot of money on the bran flakes. So you could take any metalcolin anywhere and sell it. So metalcolin, by definition, has that quality of attracting a good price for it at some place in the world. Everything is needed. Ein l'chadavish, ein l'zman of a shayit. Everything is worth something somewhere. And therefore, it's called a pe'aloch ha-metav. And that's why the Torah says you can give them the worst of the worst suban, that's okay. When it comes to land, you're very limited. Why? Because it's very hard to do what with land. It's very hard to take it and pack it up and bring Lawrence to Muncie. You just can't do that, all right? So land is only where it is. So now it depends. So if it's in a really good place, it's really, really sitting in a very, very high quality kind of real estate, so then the Torah says, well, give it to the fellow, he'll get a good price for it. But if you're going to give him the cheapy stuff, so that's going to be much harder for him to get good money for that, even though at the end of the day it's worth the same. You know, we should never make that mistake. We mentioned it the other day. When the Torah says you pay $10,000, you're not paying less value when you pay in Wyoming. You're just going to have to pay more land. But at the end of the day, people don't like it as much. It's not as lucrative, not as helpful to be in that position of owning millions of acres in Wyoming. You'd rather own a small office space in lower Manhattan than a tremendous farm in Wyoming. So therefore, the Gemara says that the parish of Netav was only given by Karaka, but Metalatlin Kombi Limetavu. That was the answer of Rav Huna, Rav Shua, and Rav Papa. That was seems to be the final word on the sugya. Seems to be the final word on the sugya. But now the Gemara continues. And what's very, very strange from a textual point of view is it takes the Gemara another blot and a half to continue, which raises some eyebrows in the Rishonim. Comes the Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Tesem and Aleph, Rav Huna Amar, O Kesem O Metav. Rav Huna says four words. O Kesem, what do the words mean? O Kesem O Metav. So it sounds like Rav Huna is telling us that when you pay back for Mazik, you have to pay either cash, Kesef Yashil V'Olav, like it says by Bor, or Meitav, like it says by Shein V'Regel. Those are the only two choices. Either you pay, cold cash, or you give the best of the land. So, Eisver Avdachan Rav Huna, that can't be. Yashil V'Rabashav Kesef V'Lesubin. So, Gemara says, Hachem Ha'eskidim V'Delaislei. So, Rav Huna seems to be giving an entirely different interpretation to these psukim. What's Rav Huna's pshat in the psukim? What's Rav Huna telling us? So what? That you can pay Subin. Not so fast. You can pay Subin. You can only pay Subin if you don't have what? If you don't have anything else. If you don't have karka that's made up and you don't have cash, if all you have is $1 million worth of raisin bran, so be it. Pay the $1 million of raisin bran. So this is in direct opposition to the first shot. The first shot in the Gemara where Rav Huna braided Rav Yeshua. It's not this Rav Huna. Rav Huna braided Rav Yeshua and Rav Papa. back all the way back at the Zion of the Mays, so they resolve the contradiction. How could the Torah say in the same breath Meitav and Subin? So the answer is that Subin always is the equivalent of Meitav. It's the same thing because every metalism is always Meitav. That was their answer. But the other answer, this was the first Teretz. Now the second Teretz that Rav Huna 20 years earlier is proposing is that no, you can only pay Meitav or Kesef, and the only ability to pay Subin is only Be'ein lo Meitav or Kesef. So Gemara asks, what? I need a pasuk to tell me that you can pay Subin if you have nothing else. Obviously pay something, it's better than paying nothing. I would have thought that either Kesef or Meitav, and therefore if all you own is $10 million worth of Raisin Bran, what do you have to do with it? You have to go sit in front of Whole Foods and sell for the next 6 months. That's what I would have thought, and give him the cash. You don't have to do that. So at the end of the day, we have two radically different approaches to how to solve this apparent contradiction in Pesukim. We have the Rav Huna Ray, the Rav Yeshua Pshat, together with Rav Papa, that Subin is always good, so by definition is made up. And now you have the other Pshat, that Subin is not so simple. Subin is really falls short. Subin is not made up. There is no absolute statement that Subin is called made up. Subin is not made up, and the Torah is just giving you a break if and when you don't have anything else that's worth anything to sell, so to give him back. So give him back that, and that's it, and call it a day. But is it made up? It's not made up. So we have a major machlokes on our hands. Is metalklin objectively made of, or is it not? How does that impact on the top of Hamad Aleph? What did the Gemara say? The Gemara said that according to Rabbi Akiva, Ashotam Shechava B'Yadam pays Megufo, and since it pays Megufo, you just dump the shor on the guy, therefore it doesn't qualify as an av, because what's the definition of an av? Everybody say, Kulin Kelvis Tashalim and Meitav. What did the Gemara just say on the Hamad Aleph? You know what I just said? Returning a shore is not what? Is not what? Say it again here. Is that Meitav? According to Tosis Pshat. Not according to Rashi, the Gemara didn't say that, but according to Tosis Pshat, what the Gemara just said in the Hamad Aleph is that because you're paying me Gufo, therefore it's not an Av, because Guf Hashor is not Meitav. That's what the Gemara just said, according to Tosis Pshat. Wait a second. That may or may not be a true statement. That statement is only as true as who? As the Machlokes, the two opinions in the Gemara. Later on, the Zion, later on, the Tess. If Rav Huna, Bereid, Rav Yeshua, and Rav Papa are right, then Tosis is wrong. If Rav Huna is right, then Tosis Pshat is right. So we just made a Tosis Pshat dependent upon Machlokes Amarayim. 20 minutes ago, we said Tosis Pshat is so glad, it's so easy, it's so perfect. Why in the world didn't Rashi say it? Why did Rashi go fishing and tell you a story that's 50%, 75%, 29%? Why did you say simply Meita, that Guf Hashor is not Meitav? The answer is because we are not sure that Guf Hashor is not Meitav. Guf Hashor is not Meitav if you think that Subin are not Meitav. But if you really believe, like Rav Huna, Bereid, Rav Yeshua, and Rav Papa, that any and every metalklin is by definition Meitav, then the answer is yes, Guf Hashor is Meitav. So Tosis Pshat is now, rather than being such a gvaltika glop shot, is holding on for dear life. So the only way to preserve Tosis Pshat is to be convinced that the Balei HaTosis really thought that the final outcome, that the real Psach Halacha follows this approach, follows the approach of Rav Huna proper, not Rav Huna Bredi Vishua, but Rav Huna proper. Is that true? Is that not true? So the answer is, according to Tosos, it probably is true, but it is a machlokes Rishonim. So there is a major machlokes Rishonim in terms of Psach Halacha. Who do we paskin like? Do we follow Rav Huna Bereid Yeshua Psach, or do we follow the Rav Huna proper Psach? What is the halacha ma'isa? A guy has Subin, and he also has Meitav, he also has Kesef, he has everything. Can he get off of paying Subin or not? According to half the Rishonim, yes, half the Rishonim, no. How do the Rishonim line up on this issue? What would you think they did? Forget what the Rishonim say for a minute. What would you say? What would you say? If you were a Rishon, okay, imagine you're a Riff, okay? You're sitting in the middle of a Fez and trying to figure out how to paskin the Shiloh. Or you're a Rambam sitting in the middle of Cairo trying to figure out, or you're a Rush sitting in the middle of Germany trying to figure out, how do you paskin the Shiloh? What Klali HaPsach would you go on? All you have in front of you, you have the same Gemara that the Rishonim had. And again, you have it much easier. The Rishonim had to scroll around to find it. You just turn the pages. It's much easier. How would you begin to pass in the Shah? What factors would you use to pass in the Shah? Oh, so latest in terms of, what do you mean latest?
Most modern.
Most modern? You don't really mean that. I know you. I know exactly. Okay. So, Asher Becker, get this down. The most modern interpretation of the Gemara is always the most correct one. Get that? That was said in Chodesh Adar, in the full spirit of an Afikum. Okay, good. Got it, Asher? Okay. You can put it together with the last thought I said. Forget what the Rishonim said. Forget what the Rishonim said. Okay. Well, what do you mean by that? I'm going to re-challenge you again. What do you mean the most, the later Pshat?
The latest generation of.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you a brisket hakir on what you meant in the word later. Does later mean the later chronological statement uttered from the mouth of an Amora? Or does later mean the last page on the first place on the page of the Talmudic tractate? Right. Which one do you mean? Which one did you mean?
Generation.
Okay, so the truth is that that's a big problem, because in Ash Sugya, believe it or not, you come to two different answers. So comes the Rif, sitting in Fez, right, sitting in Morocco, and he's looking at the Gemara, and he's like, how are you going to paskin? I have Rav Pop and Rav Huna Yeshua saying one way. I have Rav Huna saying something else. Who do I paskin? Zok the Rif, Hilchasa Kibasaroi. You follow the later chronological opinion, and who lived later? So it's important to know. You know, you don't have to know every single Nakuda about every single Tana, Rishon. You know, the Chip said that he likes to learn Rabbi Kivegas. He doesn't care what Rabbi Kivegas for breakfast. The Chip is very opposed to writing biographies of Gadol. The whole thing was a bit of man. It's strange because he was the first biography of Gadol that was written was about the Chip. So it's strange. He thought all the Gadol stories was all spam. What's the point? He didn't read Rabbi Kivegas. Learn Ketzayis. We'll ask Amina what's the Ketzayis that he had blue eyes or brown eyes. Who cares? But it's important to know a little bit about when anybody lived, because it could sometimes impact on your understanding of the sugya. So let's say, for example, if you have no idea that the Rashba and the Ritva and the Ran and the Rabban, they're all from the same, Mahalach, so that could impact on how you learn the sugya. If you think that when Tosfos quotes a Rashba, that he's referring to the Rashba of the Ramban's Rashba, the Sfadi Rashbas, so you're going to make a big mistake. You're going to ask a kasha. It's a steer in a Rashba. Samachvarim have a kasha. A Rashba zok the zoy, and Tosfos quotes a Rashba. It's a different person. Different person. They live in different parts of the world. They live 20 years apart. They don't do each other. They're the same Moshe Tevus. Rabbi Cohn said this. Rabbi Cohn said that. It's a different Rabbi Cohn. It's Rabbi Yitzchak Cohn. Rabbi Tani Cohn. Different Rabbi Cohn. They don't do each other. So you have to know a little bit. So it's important to know which Amoraim lived later, and it gets confusing here because the both name is Huna. So the Rif did his little bit of research, and he came to the realization that everybody knows. If you listen to any Gemara, you'll realize Rav Papa was a Talmud of Rava. Rav Huna made sure they were Talmud of Rava. Rava was towards the end. Rava was already towards the end period of the Amoraim. The early Rav Huna, who makes the appearance in the Testament Aleph, was a Talmud of who? Who's the Talmud Muvagov? Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. He's always called Rav. He was a Shiva in Suri after Rav. He was second generation Amar Rav. Rav Papa and Rav Beshua were fourth, fifth generation, 100 years later. So says the Rif, Hilchasakibas Rav. Finish. You always follow the later ones, Bizman Kupasekimar. What's the source of that rule, by the way, Hilchasakibas Rav? It's a Rif in Erev in the quotes of the Ga'inim, but it doesn't appear in the Gemara. It's a tradition we have from the Ga'inim, most of my Rav, Hilchasakibas Rav. It's interesting. It doesn't appear in the Gemara itself. So the Rif says that, therefore, it's an open and shut case. We pass in front of Rav Shua and Rav Pop and call it a day. However, Tosus on the test, quoted the name of Rabbeinu Tam, who disagreed. Rabbeinu Tam said it's not true. Rabbeinu Tam said that we passed it, and this one like Rav Huna, and I'll tell you why. Because, I'm going to quote you, because the halacha is like the last ones. What does it mean, the last ones? Who's the last ones? The last ones to speak in a sugya. That when Ravina and Ravashi were Masada the Gemara, so they put together the Gemara, it's in order. means when you got to the, if the last word, last person who gets his word in the end of the debate, he's going to be the one that's going to carry the day. So if Rav Ashi or Vin Rav Ashi really thought that Huna Beit Yeshua and Rav Papa were right, they should have presented them as the last word, and then they should have put the two dots in and go to the next Mishnah. Why did they put Rav Huna, they brought Rav Huna back from 150 years earlier. Rav Huna died already by the time Rav Huna and Rav Yeshua and Rav Papa were writing their words. Why in the world did Rav Vin Rav Ashi bring Rav Huna back to life? To highlight the fact that that is the final word, l'halacha. So you have a major machlekes about the time and the Rif. The Rosh elaborates upon this, that if a major machlekes and Rishon, everyone's learning the sugya the same. They're all learning it to machlekes. They're all learning that everybody knows Rav Huna lived first. Everyone knows Rav Huna appears in the Gemara second. And we're not sure, do we follow the chronological rules of Hilchos Kibbutzim? That was the Rif's pshat. But do we follow the textual rule that the last one to get the word in, he gets the final psak halacha, like that was Rabbeinu Tam's pshat. Why does the Gemara say it? Sometimes it was so obvious. Everybody knows that this is the last word, so that's partial that way. I don't know. Not sure. This was part of a whole theory of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam didn't just say this in a vacuum. There's a very, very famous Rabbeinu Tam that appears in Naftes. Ragel Hay Rabbeinu Tam Loimar. What does he say? Gimel Dinim Heim. There were three halachas, says Rabbeinu Tam. Tosfos quotes this in a few places. There's Gimel Dinim. There were three different degrees, three different halachas of Tashlumin. There's something, I mentioned I think earlier this year, there's something about Rabbeinu Tam that I always thought Rabbeinu Tam was the first brisker. Because Rabbeinu Tam, in so many places in Shas, breaks things down and says, there are two dinim. Who remembers the trivia on this one? Remember this? How many two dinim of Rabbeinu Tam do you know? Just an aside. I once took a walk with Mary Yaakov somewhere on Shabbos, and I told him to see how many we could list. How many two dinim of Rabbeinu Tam? Here you have three dinim. How many two dinim of Rabbeinu Tam? Rabbeinu Tam is the one who discovered that there are two shkias, right? Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Tam, Loimar, there are two shkias. Rabbeinu Tam is the one who said there are two shibudim, right? He's the one who discovered that there's a shibud aguf and a shibud nechasim. What else does Rabbeinu Tam have? I don't know. We had about five or so. I don't remember anymore. It's been a long time. Check on my account. We had a few. Rabbeinu Tam, Loimar, there are a whole bunch of twos. Rabbeinu Tam saw the world in twos. So here Rabbeinu Tam saw the world in threes. Rabbeinu Tam said there were three. There were three dinim. What are the three dinim? So Rabbeinu Tam explains that a mazik has to pay either kesef or meitav and can never ever get away with paying subin. You have no right to pay subin unless you're stuck in nothing else, then you pay. Otherwise there's no paying subin. A love, if he has to always pay what? Did it tell the time it comes? No, was that another comes? Yeah. You have to pay cash. You borrow cash, you have to pay cash. If you don't have any cash, then he goes after your karka. And a poel, if you hire a guy to work, what do you have to give him? You have to give him cash, even if you don't have cash. What do you have to do? You have to sell your stuff to give him cash. You agreed to pay him cash, you got to pay him cash. So Rabbi Tam, in the context of Mazik, said that we paskin alochas of Rabbi Tam like a funa. So now that we know that Rabbeinu Tam paskins like Rav Huna, and therefore subin are not meitav, metalot is not meitav, now we understand the Tosis. The Bava Kama, the family Aleph. This Tosis is who's speaking? Who's the Baal Tosis here? Does it say Rabbeinu Tam's name in this Tosis? No, but if you look in the Rashba on Asugi, he quotes this in the name of Rabbeinu Tam. This is Rabbeinu Tam Mashitosai. That's only because Rabbeinu Tam took on the Rif and took on the other Rishon and claimed that we passed in Halacha that Subin is in fact not Meitav. Therefore, Rabbeinu Tam was free to say that Migufo is also not Meitav. If Migufo is not Meitav, that explains why Tam Shechol V'Yodim is not an Avamazik. The reason why Rashi never would have gone down that route. Rashi couldn't have gone down that route. It was impossible for Rashi to go down that route. Dafka, because Rashi quite possibly held like the Rif, and says, we paskin halacha that Subin is Meitav, so then Gufa Shor's Vite is also Meitav. If it's Meitav, so wait a second, if it's Meitav, why is it not an Av? That's a Rashi had to go fishing and saying, well, you don't always pay the full amount, therefore it's not a separate Av. It's not a distinct Av because the numbers are not always different from one another. So this Lechleik is Rashi and Tosfos on Hamid Aleph, depends on ultimately how you paskin back on the Zion of Tess. How do you define Meitav precisely?
Why is Gufa Shor not considered Kethav?
It's not kesef, it's an animal. You're giving him the dead animal.
You're giving him money.
Yeah, no, you're giving him the dead animal.
If you give him money,
you give him money. The Torah says you can give him the dead animal. You give him the dead animal. So again, so let's go backtrack for a minute. So we have this principle called Kulon Kelvis Tashal Bimetav, where we weren't sure what the source for all of them were. Edom Zomer had some problems yesterday. Boshet had a little bit of problems yesterday. But the basic klal stands. At the end of the day, the klal stands. And then we have Machlokes, and we've shown them whether paying metaltalin constitutes metav, and if it doesn't, then that would disqualify something from being an av. But come to Rishonim, and are still not done with the Rebbe Chinur of Osha's list. We thought that we were done with the list. We have one last kasha, the final touch of the sugya. That's the kasha of the Rashba. The Rashba says there's still something missing from the Rebbe Chinur of Osha's list. And what is that? What does the Rashba say? Everyone finish the Mamre Kamos? No, guys, didn't finish it. Okay, we'll try to finish. Okay, good. It was done. Okay, so comes the Rashba on the 13th of the Mamre Kamos. And the Rashba raises the question, there's something that's missing on the list. The Gemara, we thought, exhausted every possibility. We got rid of Mefagel, took us a week and a half, and Meisah took us a week and a half. There's one last case. What is it? Shein v'ayin. What's the Shein v'ayin? A guy knocks out the eye, the tooth of his Eved Kenani. The Eved Kenani goes free. Why didn't Rabbi Chinur of Osha mention that? They should have mentioned Mapil, Shein, Avdo, Shein, Avdo. That should have been on the list. You were mazikim, you knocked out his tooth, now the payment is freeing the Eved. That should have been on the list. That's the Rashba's kasha. And the Rashba gets so tzehit, so nervous, get out, geshrigin, what happened? Why isn't it on the list? And the Rashba gives you one answer, another answer. So he has to show what's on the list. New Rabbi say, let's hear. If you were sitting in the Hilga Rashba's yeshiva, sitting in the middle of Barcelona, and the Rashba posed this kasha to the Talmidim and says, why isn't Shein v'ayin on the list? What would your immediate hand go up in the air and say? You're not paying money. You're not paying? You don't mean that. You're not paying Meitav. You're not paying Meitav. What are you paying? What are you paying? What is the payment? What is the payment you're giving the Eved to himself? The Torah is saying, when you knock out the Eved's tooth, you have to give him the Eved as payment. You have to give him himself, back to himself. So I expect the kasha, I say kasha, the Rashba's kasha. I stop the Rashba's kasha. Penalty mark on the Rashba's kasha. I don't say the kasha. The Rashba is posing this dilemma. Wait a second, why isn't it on the list? I don't understand. Kulon ke'avos l'shalom v'meitav. It's only called an av, it pays the meitav. Where's the meitav? Where's the good land? Where's Back Lawrence? Where's Winthrop? It's not here. You give it a guy in Eved. You give him an Eved in return. The wheels start to turn, everybody say, no. Who's going to start the wheels turning? Quick. Let's think. Maybe what? Maybe. This is called Meitav. Why is the Eved called Meitav? Because he's what? Nah. Why is he called Meitav? Because he's like the halakha equivalent of what? I'm going to draw the following equation, okay? Here's an Eved. He's not happy, okay? He's a box of raisin bran. Okay? Why isn't Eved the halakha equivalent of a box of raisin bran? Because he's metabolin, right? Now, again, I don't want to hear stories about Aruch Shel Kekka. I'm not interested in that. And I'm very interested in that down the line. But when we get to Daf Yudalos, your base, hopefully, but not for now. Bottom line is, an Eved is like Subin, is like metabolin. So wait a second. According to half the Rishonim, metabolin is always metav. Remember that. According to any Rishon or Paskin, like who? Like Rav Huna, Rav Yeshua, and Rav Papa, that Subin is Meitav. Well, if Subin is Meitav, who took geometry in this world? First day geometry, what's the rule? A equals B and B equals C, okay? What's that called? Transitive postulate. Transitivative postulate of something or other, okay? That's that. A equals B equals C. Give me the A's and B's and C's in this one, everybody. So give it to us. Let's hear it. A equals B and B equals C. A box of, an Eved equals a box of raisin bran.
Raisin bran
and raisin bran equals back warrants, right? So therefore, an Eved equals back warrants. Am I right or wrong? A simple, straight geometry. Right out of 10th grade, okay? 9th grade for those who took the algebra in 8th grade. Okay, right out of simple ABCs, right? So maybe that was the Lichtin the Rashba's Kasha. when the Rashba formulated the kasha, that, hey, why isn't it on the list? So we said, what do you mean it doesn't belong on the list? It's not made of. The Rashba would respond, it is made of, because it's like raisin bran. So the Baruch Hashem, we just gave a gevaldik chizit to the Rashba's kasha, assuming like half of these Rishonim, assuming like the Rif's pshat. So, that's going to tell me now. You can tell me it's not true. You mean because the Rashba holds like Rabban Tam, you're arguing. He's quoting Rabban Tam's shot, right? You mean it means the sheetahs don't match up. Maybe. But I have a more serious kasha. I have a more profound problem. Who's going to give me the more profound problem? I just sold you to Brooklyn Bridge here. I just told the Shtickle Torah that according to the Heilig Sheet of Rav Hun, Rav Shu, and Rav Papa, that Subin, a Meitav, is this, and an episode, Evid is the same as Meitav, and therefore we understand why the Rashba has the Kasha. I got a big problem. Big problem. Which of these equations is not right? Okay. The Meitav Subin, that's for sure right. Is an Evid Raisin Bran? Why is an Evid not Raisin Bran? Tell me. I want to know the answer. We have to remember to cross that out before the next class because they don't think we're absolutely out of our mind. Just in case they don't think that yet. Okay? What? And well, someone may write an article about us. Yeah? Yeah? What is wrong with this, Marshall? What's wrong with this equation? What's wrong with us? Yeah? Again, there are a lot of differences between that father and raisin bran. 100%, you know, I got that. You know, one's a little purple box with a little smiley sun on it. One's an Evid Kenaini. You know, one's big and tough, and one's full of fiber. I got a lot of differences. But I want the difference. The only difference that matters, everybody say, if you don't go to size 7, put your hands down. Okay, you can keep it. If you're in Yeshiva College, you can always keep your hands down. Yeah.
You can't sell that.
Oh. What made raisin bran made of? The ability to sell it somewhere. So listen to this. I'm giving the Evid an Evid. I am giving him back himself. And the Atzmu, so it's not really Natav. He's not super Evid. He's not like a 25-year-old guy with a really strong, you know. He's over the hill. He's 53 already. You know, I can barely see what's inside the Gemara. You know, it's Kvetchen, it's backwards, it's neckwards. You know, he's tired. You know, he's run down. Okay. So Natav is not anymore. What made something, what made the lousy, rotten box of raisin bran made of is the ability to sell it somewhere. Somewhere over the rainbow, you can sell it. The Evid Kenaini, what do you sell? What do you get to sell it? I gave him himself as an Evid Kenaini. He's going to sell himself as an Evid Kenaini. You can't say it's an Evid Kenaini. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. The whole model doesn't make any sense. So the whole reason that declared the raisin bran in the first place to be made of doesn't spill over to an Evid Kenaini. So I'm sorry to report, but this equation is incorrect, and therefore we're back to square one with the Rashba. So we're not quite sure why the Rashba even posed the question in the first place. But the Rashba did pose the question. And the Rashba gives you potential answers. He offers the following possibility, to which he rejects. So again, I don't know why he asked the kasha, truthfully. I haven't been zoichi yet to figure out why the Rashba was bothered with the kasha. What happened to the obvious answer? That's not native. But the Rashba does pose the kasha. The Rashba says, "V'shein v'ayin v'rashi varim b'chlal nezaken." Says the Rashba, "What do you mean shein v'ayin should be listed? They're listed already. They're already on the list. Where are they? Where's the list? Who here knows the 24? That should be the question. This year Shabbaton, if we ever have one. What are the 24 of us tzedikin? One of them is nezek. Good. This is nezek. This is nezek." Good. When you chop off an arm of an Evid, or a finger of an Evid, or you knock out tooth of an Evid, knock out an arm of an Evid, all this chavdal rashi varim, so you pay by giving him an Evid. Does his nezik? It's already on the list. Don't chop it. It should be on the list. It's on the list already. So the Rashi says wrong answer. Incorrect. Why? Falesa says the Rashi. The rashi varim knasa ninu. Rashi varim are not nezik. What do rashi varim do with nezik? Rashi varim is a knaf. There's no commensurate payment to what you did. How did the Rashba know that it's knaf? The famous Gemara in the seventh parakeet. What tells the story? It might have been knaf. Very famous Maisa. Who knows the famous Maisa? Maisa Rabbi Gamliel. Shasima Saint Tavi Avdoi. Once by mistake, Rabbi Gamliel Nebuch, he was trying to help his master. He was trying to fix his eye something, and he ended up Nebuch poking out his eye. Nebuch, like terrible, fell. Rabbi Gamliel felt terrible. He did my favorite Eved. But the Gemara says, you know what? But he had a little bit of Nechama. You know what the Nechama was? Because now he went free. Baruch Hashem, he went free. So he comes running to Beis Din, Rabbi Gamliel, and says, you won't believe it, Gevaldik! I was listening to good news, guys. I was mopping. Okay, we'll make it the Shane of Tavi, not the eye. Make it a little bit, you know, toned down. I was trying to, help him fill a cavity. I knocked out a tooth by mistake. Gevaldik, I'm so excited to report to the Beis Din that I, so you know what the response was? What did Rishu say to him? What did he say to him? No, Marupa, sounds bad. Maybe it's just possible. I don't believe you. That's like a guy saying, I stole an animal and shechted it. It's a kanas, I tell you. We're not going to enforce this. But it's a kanas and potter. Finish. Why didn't Rabbi just free the Eved just like that? What do you have to break his teeth for? Because you're not supposed to free an Eved. You're not supposed to free an Eved just like that. So, Rabbi Gamliel was so excited that here he's going to come to Beis, and Beis is going to force him to free the Eved. This is sabach sabach gedoyel, the Gemara says. And Rabbi Yeshua put a down run and says, sorry, we don't believe you. Ah, you're the Nasi, you're the Russia. Nope, sorry, we don't believe you. Maybe we can ask partners. I stayed the Chumash, I stayed Yeshun, problem is Yisatzmai. So there's no question that Rosh Hevarim, Shein V'ayin, is a Knas. So the Rashba says, you're going to tell me, you're going to hide behind the Nezek and say, well, Shein V'ayin was already listed because it's part of Nezek. Not true. It's a Knas. Whose wheels are turning now? But so Rabbi Chiya should have listed it. Who has a problem? Who could defend this? Maybe. No. The rejection of the Rashba of this supposed pshat is, you don't know who said it. Somebody said it. That's already included. The Rashba says no, it's not. How in the world can you include Shein V'ayin in Nezek? Nezek is not a knas. Nezek is a what? If it ain't a knas, what is it? It must be mammon. Because nezek is commensurate with what you did. And knas is not. So everybody knows, Dr. Rashba, that nezek for ayin takazayin, pain, ayin takazayin, it's not a knas. And therefore the Rashba rejects this pshat. Which Rishon would be sitting in the corner and saying, wait a second, I'm not so convinced that nezek is not a knas. Who said nezek is a knas? The Rambam opening Shia, the first sugya is mine, no? Did we talk about this? Be'arichos? So we're time for Bechina, right? So maybe the Rambam could defend this pshat and say, no, Nezek is also a Knas. Guess what? Nezek is also a Knas. So, quite frankly, we're not sure what to do with the Rashba. Because at the end of the day, the Rashba says, V'tzorech la'ayin, he doesn't have an answer. He does not have a working pshat as to why Shein V'ayin isn't on the list. He is rejecting a possible pshat. The pshat that we offered, that it's not made of, he wasn't misyaches to, and he can't find another one. So the Halakha Rashba, again, our limited understanding, we don't quite understand why the Rashba is possibly everyone else's pshat him. He doesn't have a pshat. We don't know what the answer is. So it's Halakha Rashba. Could we potentially offset the Rashba's cash with a whole different legamri? A legamri different yisoid. Who here understood the amkus of the kasha of the Rashba in the first place? The Rashba asked the kasha, why isn't Shein V'ayin on the list? Gevaluk, it's fun mazik, it's the 25th missing mazik. So we're looking for technical reasons. No, it's not on the list because it's really on the list. No, it's not on the list because the quirk it doesn't have a meitav. Do we have some more profound, more basic, fundamental, elementary reason why it's not on the list? I have a good kasha to ask you. Okay, I have a list of 24 dinim, right? Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Yosha compiled 24 avos mazikin, a completely exhaustive list of alam mazikin and kol haterekula. And I'm going to sit in the back of the chair and say, Rabbi, I have another thing on the list. You know what the other thing is? When you eat chametz and pesach, you chayev kareis. Can you put that on the list, please? Why is that a joke? It's a bad joke. What? Are there other dini Torah? Yeah, there are a few here and there other dini Torah that exist, but that's not the goal. That was not the topic. The list was 24 avos nezikin. Okay, you want to make the question even even sharper. What about Bishol? It's an Av. It's an Av in Malachas. What about Tumas Met? That's an Av. Come on, it's a joke. How about the Zikin Ksiv? But they say, from the Rashba's Kasha, we see a world of how the Rashba learned Taish Lam Shad in the Parish of Shein Mayim. How did the Rashba learn Shad in Shein Mayim? It's a Mazik. You're fundamentally a Mazik. And unlike other Mazikin, where the Torah tallies up and says you pay Ke'evad Himka B'Shuk, it's funny. The only person who doesn't get the Shum of Ke'evad Himka B'Shuk is who? Is the Evad Himka B'Shuk. The one guy who's a real Evad Kenani, he doesn't go through every. What does he get in return? He gets his freedom. So the Rashba's Kasha was a Gvalga Kasha. It's maybe the Galumdisha Vort Munach and the Rashba's Kasha. That the parish of Shein V'Ayin is a method of payment for the Zikin. It's a different payment. There are multiple ways to pay for the Zikin. Not only does he pay the same way. Some Nezikin pay min aliyah. There are other Nezikin that are not of us, so to speak, that pay migufo. Some Nezikin pay nezek sholem. Some pay chati nezek. Some are mamon. Some are kenas. So there are a lot of Nezikin that have different characteristics, but the underlying characteristic of Alam Azikin in Halacha, the 24 on the list, plus the few that didn't even make it to the list, the Bekutch of Lokamayris and the Moshe Bedibur Loklet, there are a lot of others that for technical reasons didn't make it to the list. But the underlying principle of all of them is that you are paying for a damage. That's the goal. You're paying that. Who remembers which one of the 24 of us Nezikin almost got bumped off the list because of that problem? But you're not really kind of paying for the damage. Who remembers back in the Balaam days? Edom Zomim. Why? Because Edom Zomim, if you hold Kasha Zomim below Kasha also even by Mominis, then you never really cause the damage. Remember that? Didn't we talk about that? I think for 1 or 2 years, maybe for a week or 2 weeks. So the entire side of Mazik, you know, learning Abba Avos Nezikin, it's almost March already. It's about time we finally figured out that Mazikin means that you'd cause the damage, and now you're paying to make up that damage. Again, different ways. There's Baman, there's Kanas, there's Chatzin, there's Vezeshal, Minali, Mimei. I got the details. But that's the underlying feature. The Rashba, by posing the question and by leaving us hanging in midair with the Tzarech Iyun, is assuming that the Tashlumei Shein V'Ayin is Mamash HaParsha of Nezikin. You cause the Hefsit to the Evet, and now you have to pay to the Evet. Unlike other Mazikin that you pay with cash, this is a quirk, you pay with the Cheiros of the Evet. Could one argue with the Rashba? Is there a compelling reason to argue with the Rashba? What's the underlying philosophical reason to disagree with the Rashba? And please, nobody should, you know, I think people are going to have trouble formulating this in their minds, because, you know, Baruch Hashem, we live in a wonderful country. We live after 1863 already, Emancipation Proclamation. You know, we don't think about Avodim anymore. So we don't have that mindset, which is good. It's good. It's good. This is not a good thing. But I want you just to put aside all your emotions and just think like a real hardcore misnagid right now and just formulate what's problematic with the Rashba's formulation. Mazik means I caused the Hefsid Mammon and I have to restitute that Hefsid Mammon. Who does he belong to?
He
belongs to me. Yeah. If I smash my own car up, I don't have to pay. You know, I think there's a rule in car insurance that if you back into your own car, you can't sue yourself. I think I read that somewhere, like some fine print somewhere. Is that right? Right, okay. So, how in the world does the Adon have to pay the Eved? It's like burning down his own house. No. But before the Torah imposes this din, the starting point is the Hanocha Rishonim. The baseline is you shouldn't have to pay for the hefset of the Eved. So what's pshat? But the Torah says the Eved goes free. So what's pshat? So the answer is the Eved going free is not a teshlumin for Nazik. What is it? It has nothing to do with the damage that you caused the Eved. That's not why. It's a din in Hilchas Wa, and I'm just one of the din. It's like Lamash Eved Ivri, and Eved Ivri goes free after 6 years. Is that thing to do with Nazikin? Is that doing Nazikin? Yovel frees in Eved Ivri. There are certain things that free in Eved Kenani. If I choose to write a Shtar Shichur to Eved Kenani, Eved Kenani goes free. So the Torah says one of the methods of Shichur Avodim is If this is what happens, then the Eved goes free. Do I have to give Mishnah Shechor also to be mounted the Kinyan Nitzer, Kinyan Mammon? We spoke about this when? Who remembers? When did we talk about this? Back where? When did we talk about this? With the two men, right? No, we spoke about this with the Tumim all the way back when what sugi was it? Where was it? Back by Shazam Vlo Kasha Asta by Mominis. Remember the Kasha that he asked the Bishlam Mas, Kasha against the Ritva, the Chesed Gimel Shanim. By why is in every case the Chesed Gimel Shanim Kasha Zav Vlo Kasha Asa? And why when you have two Edim who testify that the guy knocked out the tooth and then turns out to be Zomin, why isn't it Kasha Asa? Didn't we ask this Kasha? So the Tumim said, because you still didn't write a shtar yet, another Chavim said the shtar is just for the kid Nisser. Did we just talk about this? Like 3 months ago? Okay, good. Fine. Good. So Rabbi Yisai, maybe the din of Yotzi B'Shem Ayin has nothing to do with Pashas Masikin. There's nothing to do with Mavakama. It has to do with Gittin. That's the fourth part of Gittin. That's what the Sugya of Shechar Avodim is. It's nothing to do with Mavakama. Wow. If that's the case, then the whole Kasha of the Rashi B'Tchili V'Atzoif wasn't founded. So Zeman from Dolphin, Rashba's formulation, the Kasha, the Rashba didn't hold that way. The Rashba was Mamashat Tashlumin Nezek. So Achidish HaTayrit Teshem, even though he's my Eved, no, we view it as if he's not my property, and I owe him something, and instead of giving him $1,000, I give him his Abdu, I give him his Cheirus. That's a Gevalvi Achidish, but that's a Rashba. But any Rishon who wouldn't buy into that, wouldn't be bothered with the Kasha in the first place. So, share with you a Sefer Mitzvahs, the last thing I'm going to say to you. The Rambam in the 14th of the Mekoris, the Rambam Sefer Mitzvah, the Mitzvah Sefer Reish Lamed Hei. The Mitzvah Reish Lamed Hei, he should tzivanu b'din Eved Kenani. One of the Mitzvahs HaTorah is the dinim of Eved Kenani. Now, the Rambam uses the term mitzvah here. The word mitzvah doesn't only mean something you have to do or something you can't do. When there's a category of some activity that's governed by halacha, that's also called a mitzvah. The Rambam counts as a mitzvah, mekechol memker. So the Rambam meant to say, let's say, between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, you're trying to chop right extra mitzvahs. So a guy goes to the store and buys a bag of potatoes. The Shem mitzvah nekichol memker. Then he goes in, he pays, then he goes back and buys them. Like me, I go to the store, and as I'm pulling out of the driveway, out of the parking lot, my wife texts me, I forgot something else. So you go back six times, every time he goes, a new mitzvah. That's pshat. No. It's not a mitzvah to do. It's called a mitzvah. I'll shame that there are dinim that govern this particular action. If and when you decide to do make a chamemka, there are dinim kesef b'shicha. Oh no, there are dinim that govern it. So that's what the Rambam says. The Torah doesn't say you have to have a kenani. If you don't want to have a kenani, that's perfectly okay. You want to live your entire life never owning a kenani, that's just fine with us. But if and when you haven't have a kenani, these are the dinim that govern it. Shenavad ba li'olam, that you're not supposed to tam free him for no reason. V'she'ein le'cheirat ala b'shein ba'ayin. All of a sudden the Rambam tells us that one of the dinim for the Kenani is the din of Shichur B'Shein V'Ayin. That's part of the dinim of Avodim. What? That's part of the dinim of Shichur Avodim? What does the Rambam sound like, Rabbi Say? Like, who is he? He sounds like he's disagreeing with who? Who's he disagreeing with? The Rashba said that fundamentally the din of Shev Ayin is a chavis tashlumin, it's a chavis mazik. The Rambam is formulating it, it's not a chavis mazik, it's not a kama, it's part of Parshas Avodim. The Torah says the correct ways to free an Eved Kenani and the incorrect ways. One of the correct ways to free an Eved Kenani is if by some chance you're not supposed to do it, it's not a nice thing to do, but if by some chance you were mapo Shein Mayan, now the din dictates that he goes free. That's nothing to do with Tashlumi Mazik. That's a Pradah Nuchas Eved Kenani. So according to this Rambam, l'chora, the question never got off the ground. But if you take a look at the Ramban, he has a Sogus on this Rambam. So the Ramban says, I'm not going to count Shein Ba'ayin as a mitzvah. Why? The Ramban, the third line of the Bible, Inyanu Azehu. Din min hadinim. You want to know what Shein Ba'ayin is? Shenitztavinu l'shalem le'eved kenani shichur gufo. Listen to this. B'dmei what? What? B'dmei ein avishinai. What did the Ramban just equate? He says the shichur of an eved is the what? is the Dmei Eina Vishinai. That's the value the Torah puts on. Normally value is ascertained in the market of Evan Nuka Bishuk. Here the Torah gives you an objective number. The objective number is Kachazeh. That's the way it is. It's almost like kofar. A person kills an animal, kills a person, so you pay kofar, which is evaluated in the marketplace, either for the mazgah or the nizak. But if Yeshua kills the Eved, what do you pay? What's the number? 30 shekel. Doesn't matter whether he's worth a million or worth two. 30 shekel. That's the way it is. So for some reason, again, the Rebbe Shlom, the Chachmasai, created this din that when you're trying to size up, trying to shuff up, trying to evaluate how much the Dmei HaEved is worth, the Dmei HaEin of the Eved is worth, the Torah says it's worth the Cheirus of the Eved. That's the value. The Dmei HaCheirus. So that Ramban is much more in sync with the Rashba. That's a whole stream of focus. The Rashba was a Talmud from the Ramban. That whole school of thought, that's important to know. The Ramban and the Rashba, they looked at Dmei HaEved, they looked at Shein V'ayin through the eyes of Mazik, through Dmei HaEved, and therefore the Rashba was posed with the Kasha. Wait a second, it should be on the list of Mazikin, and the Rashba is searching and he doesn't know why. Whereas, according to the Rambam, the cash is to get off the ground. It's not even part of Mazik. It's not Bavakam altogether. It's a different gittin. It's Kedushin. It's Avodim. It's nothing to do with Bavakam. Nothing at all. So again, it all started with the list of 24. And the only characteristic we have for all 24 that we know for certain is Kulam Ki Avos HaShalom V'Meitav. Within that, those criteria of HaShalom V'Meitav, so we have that whole issue, that whole confusion in terms of Edom Zomen, where that fits into the picture. Then we have the whole issue how this impacts on Rabbi Akiva and Chazal Adam. Then we have the whole issue that the Rashi was raising about the Shein V'Ayin. A lot of issues are being thrown around because we have to meet this criteria of Kulun Ke Avos HaShalom V'Meitav. So I think we could say we make a siyum on Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Ishiya. We can make a siyum on the first unit of the year from the base of Davei, hopefully that's Hashem starting Sunday. I have no idea what time on Sunday. Starting Sunday at some point, so we will hopefully continue with starting where? Tav Tes. You can tell everyone Tav Tes and Shibu. No, I'm glad of it. Well, unbelievable. It's a Shana Boberes. The next month, we're already on Tav Tes. Okay, we'll stop here. Do we have time for Chumash? Guys, are in a rush? Okay, I'm going to give it quick. Let's start off then.